back. WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. All of our WNST coverage brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We're going to be letting ourselves play. The Maryland Crab Cake Tour is coming to Conrad's next Friday on the 6th of May. We're going to be giving some lottery tickets away, some Betty Boop, as well as our friends at Goodwill Industries and our friends at Window Nation. That is the 6th from 2 until 5. The soccer community is invigorated here in Baltimore right now for lots and lots of reasons. It's been a long time since I've had this guy on, probably about 2 years, and he at one point was a usual foil on this program some 31 years ago when I began this. We're going to be doing 31 crab cakes and 31 breweries in 31 days. Hopefully, Kenny Cooper will be joining me for one of those. We're going deep into the heart of Texas, down to Plano, Texas, where the coach joins us. Coops, first off, how are you? It was so good to see you back in Baltimore a couple of weeks ago.
Well, you know what? I had a wonderful, it was a short trip. We spent 3 days, and it was fantastic to see all the players, you know, guys that won on the championship teams. I stayed with Mike Stankovic, was very special. He treated me like a royalty. And
you stayed with Stankovic, he had good wine. I know that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You know what? I didn't know this, that when he was my assistant, player assistant, he would have an occasional glass of wine. He always looked after himself. Well, when I went to stay with him, now he's got all these bottles of French wine. And we started a little tradition. We talk every day between 5 and 6, and we toast our glass to each other and the days in Baltimore. But a really good guy. But so David Mike Williams, Joey Fink, Jim Palahan, of course, all the players were there. Paddock Coley, it was just a wonderful weekend. And thanks to Ed Hale, who put on a fantastic weekend for I'm losing my track of thought because my wife, God love her, right? She, when I talk, she always interrupts.
Hi, Irene. How is Irene doing?
She says, well, you know what? This is what I tell people every day of my life. Great wife, great mother, great grandmother. I hit the lottery. We've been together for a total of 44 years, 4 kids, 2 girls, 2 boys, 6 grandkids. So, no, our life is going really well. Very, very thankful.
Well, listen, last Friday, I get a press release, and I don't know why they dropped the good news on Friday. I think from D.C.'s perspective, it was a little embarrassing, right? So all these cities have these bids. Mexico's going to get games. Canada's going to get games. You're down in Dallas where they have the big stadium and Jerry Jones's money, and there's a nice soccer tradition in Dallas. But all of these American cities, 16 bids now coming together to try to get 10 host locations. Baltimore always felt like a long shot because of Philadelphia, New York, Boston, Washington. Yes. The word that FIFA found the Redskins for Commanders facility to be unacceptable and had asked that Baltimore be a part of the Washington bid, now where Baltimore would be the only place there would be games in the bid, that the party would be in D.C., down on the mall, and all the diplomats and, consulates and all that goes on, around D.C., but that real World Cup games, Kenny Cooper, could be played in Baltimore, Maryland. I figured I had to call you about this.
Oh, I think Baltimore is a great old traditional soccer city. I mean, Charlie Ekman used to tell the stories about Bethlehem Steel, the whole thing. A lot of Scottish people came over, Irish people to work. But it's been a great soccer city, and sometimes people don't take the time to study what's happened over the years.
Well, you figured that out. You showed up. I don't know what you knew about Baltimore when you posted up here 42 odd years ago, right? I remember coming down and seeing Danny Counts, and you were playing the Buffalo Stallions, and my dad didn't know what the crazy green grass was. They took the hockey rink up and they put green grass down, and they're going to play soccer with an orange ball, and they call themselves the Blast, and it's singular. It doesn't even have an S on the end. So you came to Baltimore. You found this city. At the end of the Colts, the Orioles were doing what they were doing. But I would think you probably, driving around town, didn't see kids kicking soccer balls as much as maybe playing baseball, maybe playing lacrosse in the early days. And we have that going on now. The one thing that I've been talking all week about soccer, and Kenny, it's draft week here. It's NFL draft week, and all I've been talking about soccer, because this is a once-in-a-lifetime thing for Baltimore, and I really want people to understand this. But the thing for an old silver-haired guy like you, and I got the silver in here, is soccer wasn't cool if you're above 40 in America. But if you're below 40 in America and your son had a part of this and a part of the World Cup and all of that and playing on the American team and representing the country, that if you're a 12, 14, 16, 18-year-old kid now, Kenny, come back to Baltimore now, drive around. You'll see kids playing soccer everywhere, much more so than baseball. That it's changed in this country everywhere.
Well, I'll give you a little example. In Dallas, you can't find any space at all. There's soccer fields everywhere. And they continue to build more soccer fields. North Texas Soccer Association, North Texas State, is 600,000 members strong. Girls soccer has been very, very big here. And of course, you know, when you talk about soccer in Dallas, Lamar Hunt family and Clark and Dan Hunt, his two sons, you know, Clark and Dan run Kansas City Chiefs, of course, you know, Lamar, God bless him, passed away. And now the son Dan is running FC Dallas, and they've got a fantastic facility actually north of Plano up in Frisco. And they've got a beautiful stadium, Toyota Stadium, and they've got 17 soccer fields around it with lights. I mean, it's just magnificent. It's become Soccer City USA. I mean, a lot of people thought New Jersey, St. Louis. Yeah, they've all been big. California, but Dallas has taken over. Totally. They moved the Soccer Hall of Fame here, right?
There's no chance Dallas won't be in this bid, right? I mean, Dallas is going to get games, right?
Well, yeah. And part of the reason is Jerry Jones and and I am a fan of Jerry Jones. You know, people say, well, you know, he's not a general manager. I said, no, he's the owner. And when you're the owner, you can be whatever you want. But he's a big, big soccer supporter. He's a big boxing fan, right? I mean, they had 92,000 for the fight, Errol Spence, a week ago, right? And he will definitely, they definitely put a bid in. And I think we'll get it. Now, moving back to Baltimore, I always felt that, you know, Washington, whatever reason, kind of tried to overshadow at Baltimore everything we did. But again, when you're talking about soccer, it's an old traditional game. I mean, it's played in over 250 different countries. And I don't think when you say, I don't see number one where they can play in Washington. Baltimore's got everything. It's also a tourist attraction, as you know, because of the harbor place. And you've got so much things going on. It's just a perfect place. Great restaurants. Little Italy, wonderful place, wonderful food. And, you know, you're connected to New York, you're connected to Philadelphia, you're connected to Washington. So I think it would be a natural. But again, you know, I'm probably a minority when it comes to that.
Kenny Cooper is here. The voice is very familiar to anybody that knows anything about soccer here in these parts. He is down in deep in the heart of Texas, down in Plano, Texas these days. How's your boy? I mean, you talk about the American soccer program and soccer in America and, you know, exporting talent and the premiership and everything, the kids playing here that go abroad to play. Your son was born here in Baltimore, right? And then spent his time down in Dallas and was a part of the growth of soccer in this country, going back to 02, we make the Great Eight, 06, you know, fell over ourselves over in Germany and then 10 in South Africa. But this is a coming out party for America in 2026 for soccer as well. And as I said, Kenny, the expanded field gives the Italians a chance to participate too, hopefully.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, a World Cup without Italy to me doesn't seem the same. It just doesn't. And of course, it was a big shock to everybody when they lost, and all of a sudden, because when you think about the World Cup, you think about Italy, you think about Germany, you think about Brazil, England, you know, and but they'll be back. They'll be back. I mean, that's a wonderful soccer nation and very passionate about the game. And I'm sure the people down in Little Italy are still probably upset and not sleeping over and missing out, you know.
They won back in 06 and they rubbed it in forever, you know, didn't they? Come on, I mean,
yes.
You're from a place where they don't win World Cups either, so when they win, they rub it in. You know this.
Oh, yeah. Well, we only won one in England in 1966 when we beat Germany 4-3 at Wembley, and I remember watching the game, and it was a thrill of a lifetime to see that, okay?
Kenny, what would it mean for you to come to Baltimore and see England play a game against Morocco and Baltimore in the World Cup? I mean, I still have to pinch myself to think that this is possible. I don't want to get out in front of this, but it really feels like in this last week, the momentum has changed, that sort of scenario could happen.
Yeah, I mean, look, as you know, the whole thing is political. I mean, bottom line, okay? You say to yourself, you know, because of D.C., Washington, and the politicians and the president and everybody, you know, you've got to say they've got to have a World Cup there, games. But it's close enough to Baltimore. They have the parties and we'll have the games, right?
You know perfect. What I'm saying? I love the, it. I love
the politicians can drive down to Baltimore in a limousine.
I guess what I'm asking you, as someone whose homeland is in England, that, you know, I've seen you cry, you know, if England wins a World Cup, what that would mean to you and the late Billy Ronson and every other one of your countrymen I've ever known, my old British girlfriend in 1990. I mean, the World Cup around I'm trying to get people in Baltimore to understand how crazy it's going to be here for a month if we get games, that if England were to play a game here, everybody from England's going to be here that weekend.
Oh, there's no question. No question. I mean, I can remember when the World Cup was here, and I think I did some TV spots, some interviews for Channel 11, Channel 2, you know, Chris Thomas, Scott Gosow, and all those guys. And I actually remember going down to Little Italy and interviewing people on the streets. And there was actually kids then, because the World Cup was here, playing soccer in the streets. And so I think it's just something about the game that, you know, you've got to be passionate about the game. One of the biggest criticisms that we always heard in America when promoting the game is that, you know, who cares if it scores 0-0? Who's going to watch a 0-0 game? Well, I reminded some that the very first baseball game I went to was the Orioles and the Yankees and in Baltimore, and it went 13 innings. And I thought to myself, this is like watching paint dry. Now, as you become part of the fragment of the city and get caught up in I learned to appreciate the catchers and the first base and the, you know, designated hitters. You got to get into it. But that took a long years for me to do that. Years.
And soccer's an easy game. Soccer's a game anybody can play. I mean, you mentioned the ladies playing it.
Most inexpensive sport in the world. All you need is shorts, T-shirts, some, you know, a ball and some sneakers. And, you know, we used to play at school where we put coats down for goals. You know, you throw your blazer on the floor, make one goal, and then about 30 yards away, we'd put another blazer down and we'd play with a tennis ball. I mean, we'd play with a tennis ball because in those days, we couldn't afford soccer balls. They were very expensive. But I think, and God love you for the way you have supported soccer over the years. I mean, I think you are fanatical at most of the things that you do. And the thing I admire and very much about you is that you've always given the game a fair chance. You never, ever, as long as I've known you, you've never been critical of the game. And I think the media deserve a lot of credit. You know, we had the Sandy McKees, the Bill Glaubers that worked, you know, the newspapers, Sue Fornoff, right? And the thought that, you know, I had to explain the game at times, and it was an educational thing, but they always gave us a chance. I know the media is not supposed to be fans, supporters, but I found the media, print media, electronic media in Baltimore, very fair. And I think the same is in Dallas. I mean, the game is here. It's arrived. It's probably, in all fairness, the fourth major league sport after football, baseball, basketball. You've got soccer, ice hockey there. And I think that's fine. It's found its own niche. When you look at what Major League Soccer has done, they've done a fantastic job. Don Garber, Todd Durbin, a wonderful job. They built a blueprint for the game, right?
Something you were trying to do with the indoor game 40 years ago.
Yeah.
Make that footprint. Sure.
Yes, yes. And one of the highlights of my coaching career, number one, winning the championship was fantastic. And then taking the team to England to play against Sheffield Wednesday in Sheffield, Aston Villa in Birmingham, and Oldham Athletic in Manchester, playing in front of sellout crowds. And we were pioneers and ambassadors. And I think the last time I spoke, we were entrepreneurs and didn't know it, right? We were entrepreneurs before the word was invented because we was here, there, everywhere. And who would have said... indoor soccer in Baltimore, it's not going to work. I never ever got that feeling, to be honest with you, but there was one or two people, the pessimists, that say, it's not going to work. They've got the Colts. You know, they've got the Orioles. And, yeah, and they had the Clippers at the time. And I think they were bringing in, you know, this 6,000-8,000 a game in the Civic Center. But for us, the time was right. And hopefully the same thing's going to happen in, you know, 2026.
Oh, well, listen, I'm hoping to call you back in about 8 weeks if we actually get these games, and we won't know the draw or anything for 4 years and know which cities and which teams and, you know, getting what games. But if we win this bid, for you, for Bernie Roden, for Nathan Scherr, for Ed Hale, you know, for all of you who invested in soccer here 40 years ago, to think that World Cup games will be played on Baltimore soil. Just I went to the 06 World Cup over in Germany. I went over to Amsterdam. Yeah. I went into Germany. I went to Zurich, Switzerland to drive up through the Rhineland to go to see the U.S. play Italy in Kaiserslautern. And I saw the festivals and the celebrations around it in much more of a way than what we had here in 94 when we weren't prepared for it in that way, spiritually, psychologically. I think that the 2026 thing will be a thing that can bring America together, bring cities together. And more than that, and if Baltimore gets to be a part of that, that it would be the crowning achievement of sport in the history of Baltimore, right up there with getting the Ravens for me. I mean, it would be that sort of a get.
Yeah. And I would totally agree with you. I mean, I don't know who's all involved in the bids. You know, I'd heard the, you know, Stuart Goff the other day, I think you had him on the show, right? And he's another guy that's been a big, big supporter for soccer. And I think the question is, why wouldn't Baltimore get the World Cup? Why not, right? I mean, you've got to move things around, you know. They've had it in Philadelphia. They've had it in New Jersey. You know, they've had it in the Rose Bowl. Why not? I mean, it's a great city. I mean, we miss it terribly, but you know, I like.
But you get to come back. You had a good time when you came here a few weeks ago. Oh, what's the first thing you do when you come back here?
Well, I'll tell you the funniest thing. It happens to me every time I come back. I'm going down the baggage claim, and somebody will say, "Hey, coach, hey, the Blast are doing great. How are you doing? How are you feeling?" I mean, it's amazing, and you know. Even when I leave, the same thing happens again. Hey, coach, when are you coming back? People say, when are you coming back? It's like I never left. I never left.
Well, I ask you that, too. When I saw you were in town, I chased around a little bit. You were in and out, but I knew we would catch up. I did not know it would be over a Baltimore World Cup bid. So this has been a beautiful catch up with you. Hello to Irene, the kids, the family, the grandkids, all that good stuff. You look great. You look healthy, and you looked happy as heck to be back in Towson a couple of weeks ago. So it's always good to see you.
Irene said to me this morning, why don't you do something? And I looked at her and I says, she goes, no, I mean, I know you like to go out and have a glass of wine at lunchtime, but what you need to do something. I said, hey, Irene, I'm 76. In 4 years, I'm 80, right? When the World Cup will be in Baltimore, I'll be 80, right?
Well, you'll be here.
I will be there.
Listen,
guarantee you.
That would mean the world to me. Is if the first World Cup game here 4 years from now, you and I are together having a cold beverage, that would scream Baltimore positive to me, Kenny Cooper. It really
consider
would.
Consider it done, my friend.
You got
consider
it, my friend. It listen,
we'll bring Stankovic with us.
Then we'll have good wine. Better.
Yes, we will.
Last time I saw Stankovic, this is a true story. I was getting a cup of coffee. I was over here in Timonium. I get a cup of coffee. I'm in the parking lot. Molly sees me, honks the horn, gets out, hugs me. This is before COVID. Hugs me, hands me a bottle of wine. This is good wine. You will like this. You will like this wine. You drink this wine. So I said, all right. So I brought it home. We drank it. It was delicious. It was a dry white. It was delicious. But it was wine only, so expensive that I wouldn't have bought it for myself.
Well, I can share this with you. Mike typically spends $40, $50, $70 a bottle, which I don't, by the way.
Right? You do, I mean, when you're with him.
I'm like a $10 bottle, and that's fine, you know.
We had a $13
we'll get together, absolutely.
Night. King Liquors. I'll bring a delicious Malbec for you next time we get together.
Oh, I love Malbec.
We'll go to Argentina together. We'll celebrate Maradona and celebrate.
Yeah. And then I'll sing, "Don't Cry for Me, Argentina."
That's when the show ends, when Kenny Cooper starts singing Evita Perón. He is the coach. He'll always be the coach. Kenny Cooper, Blast Hall of Famer, wearing some Blast swag and back to celebrate 40 years of soccer right here in Baltimore. And a shout out to Ed Hale for doing great things with the Blast over here in Towson, working in the new CQ Arena as well. I am Nestor from Dallas, back to Baltimore. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking Baltimore Blast soccer and Coach Cooper and Baltimore Positive. Stay with us.